The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Okay, we're going to get into the fun stuff. UFOs, poltergeists, unexplained. Maybe some spoon bending. I'll save that for another show. I did put some spoon bending links in case you're interested. Because once you've done this, all of a sudden you're super person. It's like that little turbo boost that you need. Wow. And it's that easy. Okay, so I took a community class, and it was a whole group. And I will tell you, the group energy also kind of amplifies it. But once you get your shtick together and you can figure this out, it's one of that little liberating feelings of, I got this. Wow. Okay, things are coming together right now. And if you've been following some of this UFO stuff recently, To the Stars Academy with Tom DeLonge, all this stuff that's happening, there are a lot of synchronicities. And one of those synchronicities is this mystery metal. And I remember when I talked with Tom Carey, I interviewed him about the Children of Roswell, and that's in the archives maybe a couple, 3 years ago. And he, at that point, while we were talking, said that he had somebody who had just buzzed in about the piece of mystery metal. Now, I think there are several little pieces of this, and somebody says that the military had it, from the beginning, and we've been back engineering things to incorporate this into what we do. Well, right now, there are at least three that seem to have become available. One, Linda Moulton Howe, and while she was working with Art Bell, they had a piece of the mystery metal and the exotic metal, whatever. They've got different names for it, but it's this unidentified metal that was collected at the time of the Roswell
weather balloon.
Right. Okay, so anyway, the people who are there, and then when you have the interviews with the people, the grandkids, the people who are affiliated with the military folks who do talk, there's a lot more to the story. Well, this little metal thing, interestingly enough, if you saw that the obit for Stanton Friedman, they said they had, five vans full of archives of files and stuff like that that he has donated to be researched and archived and taken care of. In that was a letter from somebody in 2012 who said, here's this piece of metal I was telling you about from the Roswell UFO. Wow. And he just kept it. So if that's what it is, then Stanton Friedman had that. Okay, so who knows where that one is going? But Linda Moulton Howe has given hers to the folks who are doing that, to the Stars Academy, Tom DeLonge, his group of scientists. And then there just became available another one. There are some of the people I follow. One of them, I really appreciate Colin Andrews' work. He investigates a whole lot of stuff. He's known for his research into crop circles, but also this other anomalous phenomena, poltergeist, UFO, paranormal, all that stuff. It all fits together, consciousness. And he had a piece of the metal. He said he'd had it for a long time, and now he has given it to the folks. There was a story recently about this group of some military, a lot of scientists, and a lot of who's who have come together to, they call it UAP expeditions, tracking UFOs off the coast of California. And the guy, Kevin Day, is the founder. He's a retired U.S. Naval Petty Chief Officer and a radar operator. So he was one of the guys who served in the Nimitz Carrier Strike Group when they had that 2004 Nimitz UFO incident. Okay, so he's vested. And then some of the other guys, the scientists, one of the guys is Ames Research, NASA Ames Research Center professor. And he is involved in this, and he's the one who has this little piece of metal that Colin Andrews said he had. And it is unclear who gave it to him. But he also met I think Mr. Corso, there were two or three people involved in this along with Edgar Mitchell. So he had some connections. And now these little pieces of metal, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. All right. Because these are just, and it's like by now, you know, where are we going to go with it? But what happens is that people have been talking about this for so long and getting dissed and ridiculed and shamed. And people saying, oh, it doesn't exist. You know, you're just full of it. La, 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 la. It's your imagination. And you're trying to make something out of nothing. Well, for all the people who've been dissed and who have been ridiculed and in some way, shape, or form shamed, this is vindication. This says, hey, guess what? I didn't lie. I didn't make it up. It wasn't fiction. And so that gives us one more piece of the puzzle, the equation, to go forward and say, well, you know, at some point, this is just going to be mainstream, and we'll be all like, well, why didn't we believe it? What happened? And that's what these little pieces of the puzzle are doing. And it's interesting that there are now three that we know of that are in play as we speak. And what comes of that, who knows? But the fact that they're all coming out right now is pretty impressive. Now, I've talked with Keith Linder before. Keith Linder came on, we talked about the Bothell Hill House. And that is, the stuff that's happened since we talked with Keith is pretty incredible. At one point, he had a local USA, very famous Ghostbuster come in and say, nothing's going on. I think he spent 5 hours at the house and walked away and said, yeah, right. And so then Keith had to take, speaking of ridicule and shame, Keith had to put up with a bunch of stuff, knowing that he was experiencing something, and just because they didn't see it didn't mean it wasn't happening. So there's some more research. The other people came in, and they actually stayed a week or two, and two different groups. But Keith will tell you about it, and let's backtrack. We have to start from there, because this has continued. He's now out of the house. He's moved on. The activity is now attached, which means it travels, and Keith goes with it, or it goes with Keith. So, hey, Keith, congratulations for sticking with this, because you've had some really intense experiences with all of this. So I just want to backtrack and say, hey, welcome. How you doing?
Hi, Wendy. thanks for having me. It sort of sticks with you, or me stuck with it. We're still trying to figure out who likes who the most, me or the guys. But, it's been a rather interesting, challenging last 4 to 5 years. But like you said, it started in the Bothell House, so here we are.
Well, okay, so when we went with that, and there are several articles now. I mean, you're owning a really nice piece of real estate here on Google. So congratulations on that, too. You know, you can't miss it. If you Google the Bothell Hill House or Poltergeist of Washington State, you're gonna get some stuff here. So with this, there's a really nice recent article, and this is in Supernatural magazine, talking about how it's like living with a poltergeist. Now, how did you finally figure this out? Because I mean, you're talking about levitating plants, about things getting Bibles getting burned, seeing activity, and you're an IT guy, so. Some of this was very, I think, convenient for you to be able to document it, which a lot of other people wouldn't have access to. So set the table for what it was like deciding that maybe there's really something serious going on.
Yeah, so good question. So when me and my ex-girlfriend moved up to the house, we had the activity happening around us constantly. Almost from day one. This is May 2012. And yeah, the only thing, and this applies to everybody, is when phenomena such as this happens or finds you, the only thing you can really throw at it as a means of hoping to get rid of it is your life experience. And my life experience for the last 20-odd years is IT. I'm an IT project manager. I have at my fingertips, gadgets, technology, Wi-Fi, internet, like everybody else. However, I brought equipment in to try to monitor this stuff, try to capture it via video, via camera. And the poltergeist just made mincemeat of that. I mean, they just manipulated all that stuff. It was dessert to them.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Okay, let's get into that, because this is what people don't buy. when the batteries break down, when everything goes funky, and then they make other stuff happen that shouldn't be happening. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break. But I want to also say before we go into the break, this was just recently, thanks for sharing this on Twitter, Keith, the Bothell Hill House. The case is right up there with the most frightening of poltergeist cases, the Enfield poltergeist, the South Shields poltergeist, the Bridgeport, Connecticut case, Matthew Manning case, all well-researched and detailed in various books and documentaries over the years. The Bothell Hill House is a major work, a turning point in poltergeist research. Well done, Rob Tilley, Australian Journal of Parapsychology Review. That's another feather in your cap, and it says it's legit. So I just want to say congratulations because you're getting so much validation on this, and that's what makes it. That's what makes it real. Coming up, we're going to talk with Keith more about what poltergeists do to your IT equipment, your technical, your electronics, all the funky stuff you think you're going to prove that they exist with. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, living with a poltergeist. Oh, yeah. You don't want to, basically. The Bothell Hill House by Keith Linder. That's the first book. Okay, there's book number two, and book number three is in the works. Attachments is book number two, Poltergeist of Washington State. Okay, which means it traveled. But we're not going there just yet. Okay, so here you go. Guns blazing. The electronics are your forte. You're going to choose to set it up in a perfect spot so it will capture everything so people will know it's real and you're not playing games. How'd that go?
It didn't go too well. The footnote of all this is I'm well in over my head. I don't know what it is because I have no brush with the paranormal prior to my experience or Tina's experience. So it felt like a good idea at the time, but it's going to end up being the most horrible idea we could have done in that house only because, not too many people talk about this where poltergeists are concerned, is their ability, strong ability, to manipulate electronic objects. And they commandeer it. They can cut the power. They can turn things around, turn it off within seconds of you setting something up. You know, I have to set up a camera. I have to configure it to match my Wi-Fi. I have to get MAC addresses and all this. Mm-hmm. And that takes about an hour per camera. And as soon as you set it up, you're looking at your bedroom or living room where the phenomena is happening, where we've seen phenomena and our friends have seen phenomena with their own eyes, and you never catch it. And what happens is the equipment malfunctions over and over. The problem is usually inexplicable. You can't find the root cause, and you're frustrated. And this frustration combined with you going out to buy more cameras escalates the activity, or is one of the reasons why the activity escalates.
Yeah.
And it did for me and it did for us. And while at the same time it's escalating, the spirits are smart. They're intelligent. They start attacking me more. And it becomes a contest of wills, a test of wills. And as a human being, my will has to be refurbished because I'm a human being. I have to sleep. I have to eat. Mm-hmm. They don't, or right. At least we don't think they do. And they're 24/7 bombardment, okay? And when they bombard you, it's never on your terms. It's on their terms. It's on their schedule. And that's pretty much the 4 years of in the Bothell House was in a nutshell of all the activity that's on the internet, all the activity that I reported,
yeah.
That pretty much people are familiar with. All that stuff didn't happen out the blue. It started off slowly but surely, snowball effect. And you can't turn that faucet on, me, Tina, or anybody else for that matter.
Start with that plant. Start with the plant, just as a set the tone.
Yeah, so the plant happened within 2 months of living in the home. Me and Tina have already experienced items missing, mine and hers. We already heard phantom footsteps. We're already finding objects that neither one of us own. And then one day we're watching a movie on TV side by side, and Tina's plant, which is located right next to the entertainment center, darts up in the air a few inches and does a 360-degree spin and falls to the floor right in front of us. And that was the first time that we had seen something what is classified as physical phenomena. Of mm-hmm. Witnessing an object levitate, an object move. Neither one of us are nowhere near it. and we saw it at the same time. And yeah, it's all downhill from there.
Well, and see, that part of it, though, is it's nice in some ways that you, the two of you, are experiencing this together. The other thing is, though, that that's an amplification of the energy. So whatever's there is feeding off of the both of you as you're going, holy cow, what next? There's another part, I think, that with the type of phenomena that you had, there's one where you open the drawer. You track down former tenants, and you got some interesting stories with that and some not so pleasant outcomes. But this one little instance that struck me as this is like something out of a movie that you cannot imagine actually happening in front of you. Opening up the drawer and having a bunch of letters that had not been in the drawer, letters with old addresses, and these letters are flying out of the drawer. That's mind-boggling. You know,
that's one of the, that instance right there is what raises the eyebrow of people who study Portuguese phenomena, because keep in mind, this drawer is in the kitchen. We've lived in the house for a little bit now. We've gone to this drawer multiple times. And the day I went to pull something out of that drawer, I could barely open it. That's how full it was. It was stuck. And when I finally ajarred it, all these envelopes start piling out. Now, these envelopes are addressed to other people, but it's the same house address that we live in. But it's addressed to people who lived in the house 4 or 5 years before we arrived. And by a lot, I mean a lot of envelopes, talking over 40-odd envelopes.
And that's odd.
It wasn't very odd, very, very odd. The timestamps, you know, all envelopes have timestamps on them. So you can immediately see they're not opened.
Mm-hmm.
And they have timestamps on them, the U.S. Postal timestamp. And yeah, they go back 2008, 2009. We lived in the house 2012. And that is how I found one of the tenants, is by researching using one of the envelopes to go on the internet to talk, because, you know, I want to talk to these people to see if they're having similar activity. And the person that I talked to did. They lived in the house 4 or 5 years before we did, and they had similar activity for the short period that they were there. But yeah, it started with this phenomenon as aport or asport, where objects disappear and reappear. And me and Tina at that time had already been experiencing missing letters of our own. You know, I'd be calling my sender saying, hey, did you send whatever you promised to send me? Like, yeah, we showed tracking and went to your house on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Well, it's Thursday and I still haven't got it. Well, I wasn't thinking the Portuguese guy. I was just thinking I lost in the mail.
Right,
Can you send it to me again?
Uh-huh.
And they did. And that happened a lot. But when I saw the outdated envelopes of previous tenants, I recognized what was going on.
A klepto. A poltergeist klepto.
Yeah.
Who knew?
A lot. I mean, me and Tim would never know the exact number of items we have missing today. I have a list of 40 items that I know, but the list is way longer than that.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. See, you wonder the people who come next, you know, if they're going to start discovering your mail eventually, too, you know, 4 or 5 years from now. Oh,
yeah.
That's the thing about this, is there's so many things that are unexplained. And then I believe, is it Zach Baggins? Is that the one who came to
Yeah, Ghost Adventures, yes.
Okay, so they showed up, and they're going to do this nice big investigation. How long was he there?
Ghost Adventures was there only 5 hours. I mean, Zach and crew were only there 5 hours. I did not know that immediately when they contacted me. They told me that about a few weeks before they arrived. They sent me their itinerary of A team and B team. B team does B-roll. Zach team does the investigation. Of course, they approached us very sincere, saying, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to solve your problem. But you can't do that in 5 hours. I knew that, and I'm not an investigator, but by the time I found out they were going to spend 5 hours, they were pretty much already here.
Kind of like a glory shot of, hey, I was here, it's haunted, but I didn't see any haunting. I just know that it is haunted because I've heard rumors, right?
Pretty much that's it, yeah.
Okay, well, that's the fun way to do ghost busting, all right? Because you don't have to take any of the stuff that comes out when it's a legitimate haunting. All right, so hang on. All right, Keith, we're going to come. So there's another group that comes in, and this group is the one that really does the work. Well, actually, there's two of them, but I want you to get into that in this next break, because this is what really validates everything and says that this is how you have to do this kind of investigation. It isn't just a little tire kicking. It's you have to go set up shop and experience what the homeowner might be experiencing. And it may be uncomfortable. It may be time consuming, but that's what's required. You can't just go and say,
yeah,
whoa.
It's a necessary, you have to, you can't cheat it.
Yeah.
You can't shortcut it.
Well, okay, I think the ghost just made fun of him. That was their own special way of saying, eat, lightweight. So, okay, Keith Linder, my guest. And you can check out the books. There's also a Demons of Seattle documentary on YouTube to give you an up close and personal of all this fun stuff. The book, The Bothell Hill House, that's the first one. Then we get into attachments, and that gets even more dicey. Poltergeist of Washington State. So we're going to come back and find out what happened when the real crew, the real Ghostbusters, showed up and said, holy mackerel. He's not kidding. No, he isn't. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Boo. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. You can check out Keith's information, and if you just Google the Bothell House or the Haunting of the Hell House or Keith Linder or Living with the Poltergeist, all that stuff comes up on YouTube. I'm sorry, on Google. So that's the convenient thing, is there's tons and tons of information background on this. And it's worth it, because the kinds of things that are happening here, and when I visited people who are in areas, and it's not usually just one house, but it'll be like a whole block or a whole section, and these things will happen. And they're various things, and some things are more intense, and the character of the person, your own personality can sometimes tweak it. And if you're ever arguing or getting into a real heated kind of, then it's like all you are is a big bubble, okay? And they're going to come over and take a bite. It's like, oh, lunch. Yep. So that's
pretty
what, much, yeah, that's what you're going through, is you're having these kind of things. For one thing, it isn't convenient to be in so many ways exhausted, because then you just let things out that you wish you had a better control over. And that's what you learned. You had to keep your cool in a lot of respects. You had to really calm down and chill to let some of this stuff pass, because otherwise you were just like a giant, I don't know what you would call it, a Cheeto, a Frito, a potato chip. And
cheese
so,
dip.
Yeah. It's like,
pretty much.
Okay, so the real group comes in. So Zach, he said, he didn't really experience a whole lot. So you're feeling like, oh, great, now what? Because you knew that wasn't going to cut it. So how'd the other group approach you?
I found them. I dug deep. And the U.S. team, Nikki Novell and Carissa Fleck, Nikki found me as a result of that episode and emailed me and felt I got a raw deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very sincere of wanting just to monitor the house with my equipment from afar, and they did for like 8 months. The UK team, Steve Mera, parapsychologist Steve Mera, and Phillips, I found Steve because I was, at that time, was reading up on poltergeist. I turned inward and spent hours in the library and found books, and his name was referenced in several of them about poltergeist, and he had his own methodology he put in the books as to how to investigate. So I sent him all my data, meaning the evidence, destruction, ordeal, and they reached out to me. And long story short, both teams, after a lot of vetting and combing of these stuff that I had compiled, came and lived in the house. Now, Nikki and her team lived in the house 3.5 weeks, which is, can't even compare 5 hours to 3.5 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Dawn and Steve made 2 trips, which totaled 2.5 weeks. And when they came first and second time, they bought 30-odd years of experience. Nick Kyle, who then was the president of the Scottish SSPR, and who had done a lot of poltergeist cases in Scotland and Ireland. And he came, and like you mentioned, it's not me saying, oh, my God, wow. These are gentlemen and madams who've done this, and that's their reply of, oh, my God, wow.
Yeah.
The cup runneth over with evidence. Steve Mera, probably if you ask him to this day, never thought he would live to see an object go through a table. I mean, a beach ball, plastic ball as a prop was used. And he saw it go through a table, him and Dawn, with his own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He saw objects move. They had numerous electronic issues. Nikki and her team felt the heartbeats coming from my bed. I'm not even in the bed. you put your hand in a certain spot where I complain the most about heartbeats, and you can feel the pulsating through the mattress yourself. Steve, mm-hmm. as well, experienced similar things. So, yeah, so you take all of that, and you mentioned at the beginning of your show, if you Google Keith Linder or Google the Bothell Hell House, you're going to be met with a lot of information.
Yeah.
And that was purposely done by me. I put everything out there on the free internet. It'll be there for eternity. This week, the Australian version of the UK's SPR, the Australian Institute of Parapsychological Research, they've been studying my case for about a year,
mm-hmm.
Particularly Rob Tilley, who does a lot of write-up on poltergeist phenomena. And so when he comes out and says to me and in the review itself, this case redefines and, you know, shuts down a lot of theories as to what we thought poltergeists were and are, because some of the things being reported in Keith's book and the evidence to back it up leads to that conclusion. So, yeah, information is still coming out. There's a lot of organizations even now that are combing through the evidence because it was just a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah.
I collected a lot, and I just give it to institutions and say, you can make better sense of it than me. I lived it. I experienced it. What can you do with these audio, these videos? And they come back in a year's time, and they're like, wow.
yeah. What can we do? Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is because of your background, because you had the access to IT equipment. You knew how this operates. You knew how it was not supposed to operate. That's one thing that a lot of people don't have. And so even though, you came up, you had a Christian upbringing and you said you knew about demons, ghosts were like on TV. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait. Okay, maybe there's more to this. In the meantime, you had this background to be able to go in and really try and validate what you were experiencing. And that is crucial because even the best poltergeist researchers, they have to be enmeshed in some way, shape, or form. And usually they're just going in on site. You lived it and you had the background to be able to do the research as well. And I tell you, Keith, you really have done a favor for a lot of people who've been ridiculed and made fun of because they say, I grew up in a haunted house. It's no fun. You know, this isn't a game. This messes with your mind. It destroys you. And the woman that one of the former tenants, she's no longer living. And that she said that house was a hell house for her.
Yeah. I mean, she's no longer with us. She defined the house perfectly in my emails to her. And, you know, me and Tina are no longer together, unfortunately. But I relied on my documentation of being in the IT space. I'm a project manager, and 99% of project managers' occupation is documentating. Me and Tina had this discussion after the poster card fire of, I'm just going to document what's happening around us, Tina. I don't necessarily have to understand it, but it's going to make sense to somebody else, and it's going to benefit somebody else who's going to dedicate the right time to look at this phenomena. I didn't know who Rob Tilley was in 2012 to 2019. I had never heard of the Australian Institute of Parapsychological Research. So there are entities out there, organizations, who do know of this phenomena. And when I go back and read about Enfield, South Shields, Portuguese, Bridgeport, I see the things that they witness and experience. And there's a lot of similarities. You know, there are a lot of similarities. There's things that make my case unique, like there's things that make their case unique, but the crux is still the same. These things start off slow, they ramp up, they blow up, wow, pow, bam, you know, and lo and behold. It was just weird to see, but individuals listening to you now can go online and see for themselves.
And see, and the demons in Seattle, that's the video, the documentary that is also worth watching because you get a lot of this all tied up. Now, okay, so Keith Linder's my guest. The books, there are two of them, The Bothell Hell House, that was the first one. And when I put it on my website, I crossed out the hell because I thought maybe that was a bad, maybe there could be an attachment with that. The other one was The Poltergeist. This is the second one. You know, The Poltergeist, this is Attachments, Poltergeist of Washington State. Okay, now we're going to get into the attachments in the next break, okay, because this is, again, this is something that people don't want to talk about. Because for one thing, you're making it up. No. So let's get into this, because this is what happens when you go kick tires at places that are haunted and say, eh. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Okay, so Keith Linder's my guest. We're talking about poltergeists. And we had this interview set before, but these things happened, and it was derailed. And what was interesting about it was I was planning to do the interview. We're at a time difference, so there's a little bit of, there's kind of this thing of, not the right time. I left. I never do this. I was in the studio, and I left to come back, and I just felt, I've got plenty of time. I'll go home, make sure that I've got the right phone number. Long story short, I go home, and the water, the faucet outside on the patio is running. I'm like, holy cow. And like I said, I never go home when I'm going to do this. So I went home and turned the faucet off, stopped the potential ice skating rink, and came back. Had plenty of time. But the thing with Keith's attachments, some of the things that manifest have to do with water, like puddles of water or dripping water. And I just thought, isn't that synchronistic? So for me, it was like a here. And you know what it said to me as I got this, as I'm going home, and I got this little thing of who's afraid of the big bad wolf? And I thought, that's an interesting song that I have playing in my head, and I know there's a reason for it, but I don't know why yet. And then when I go home and the water's running, I'm like, you little teaser. But to me, that validates, I know what's going on. And, I'm not going to trade places with you, but I am going to say that what you're doing makes you a difficult friend.
I hear that all the time, as you know from the book. And dating is impossible now, unfortunately.
You're a high maintenance dude, okay? Yeah, the heartbeat in the bed, like, whoa, okay.
They're out of there.
Okay, do you think it's a female or male attachment, or several?
Several, because I hear the male voices, and by male voices, I hear my name called Keith. There's been male who said that. There's been female, mostly female, who called my name Keith the other day. It happened, and it happens in diverse places: work, home, whenever. There's no rhyme or reason as to why.
Is that why you wrote the second book?
Yeah, I wrote the second book because there were three questions left that the first book didn't answer. And also, I was getting asked a lot, and these are good questions. And it was, what was the wall writing black stuff that was on the walls made out of?
Yes.
We found that out. Why was the house, quote unquote, the house from hell? Why was this house in that neighborhood, what it was? Mm-hmm. We think we know that. And also the biggest question of all for me, will I be followed? Will I have attachments? Because that is also known.
Right.
Manning case as well, and others. Sometimes they follow you. And that was already in book one, as far as I was having attacks while traveling on business.
Right.
But, it all came to a crux for the third book, and that's what the third book primarily is about. It's also about the previous tenants, it's about the land underneath the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the second part of Steve and Dawn's investigation as to why they came back. But the fundamental component of the book is attachments. And I even said in my book, if you ask five people the definition of attachments, you're going to get 10 different answers. It really breaks down to the person, their persona, their history, what they encountered, what they're doing now, their previous life, and all sort of things as to why these spirits are following me. And there's a lot of them. By a lot of them, I mean no less than six that I can pretty much say are constantly
consistent. Consistent. Okay, so with that, has it made you more religious?
Hasn't made me more religious in the sense of, become a churchgoer every Sunday. It's redefined my understanding of the hereafter, of God in general, the power of, And it's made me dig deep and know myself. Like I said, you noticed because you read the book of certain things been put in my path as a way of saying, like somebody's watching me. The example, the Bible in the middle of a street one day.
I love that.
That's just weird.
Yeah,
that's just
Okay, the backstory was the Bible's at the house, and I didn't realize that I thought, oh my gosh, unless you believe in this, this is just like throwing gasoline on an ember, like, whoa, or on a fire. Because if you don't walk your talk, if this isn't your ingrained belief system and you're just doing it as a showpiece of saying, oh, you're afraid of the Bible, so you'll go away. No, 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 they're not afraid of the Bible. You are.
No,
they don't care about
the
Bible. You do. And so what happens is if you don't buy into that hook, line, and sinker, then you can't. It's not a weapon. It's not a tool. It's not an assist. So you put the Bibles out, and that was where the flash, boom, bang came in.
Yeah, that was the result of three Bibles. And we were advised that. I mean, the Bibles that I own, these are Bibles that I owned for years, not as a means of, because I'm a religious guy or whatever. I just like history. I read history, and I have Bibles of different translations. And it seemed prudent, being advised by multiple churches and houses of God, to display that. But I knew that was very generic. The 666 with the Spirit's word on my wall was very generic.
Yeah.
That didn't terrify me at 10 and 666. The upside down man did.
Yeah, that was a different
American angle.
Yeah.
But
and I honestly,
yeah, it was just a lot of weird instances.
There's a lot of stuff just trying to get your attention, in my opinion, trying to get your attention. And so when we come back to the Bible that was in the middle of the sidewalk, which is what I love, I'm like, hey, 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 hey. It wasn't meant to frighten you. It was getting you to, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up. Come on, kiddo. Come on, wake up. And that's what I liked about it, because there's no way that could have been there. And I love the way you're like, well, okay. Now what?
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful day. People were traversing all over the place. And there it is in plain day. And it was clean, neat. I picked it up. And I even waited a little bit. Maybe somebody was going to come looking for it. Like, oh, I dropped this, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have that nanosecond thought in my head of, should I take this home or just run away?
Yeah.
I took it home.
Yeah.
I did. I said, well, there's nothing ill that's going to come by me.
No. It's a Bible.
Bible home.
It's a Bible.
The Bible.
And not, see, that's but, what I thought that was a good thing. I thought it was kind of a peace offering, knowing that actually you had something invested in the Bible that was destroyed, and this is a way of saying, okay, it really isn't about the Bible. So here, let's start over and go a different direction with this. And your response is saying,
did you hear the EVP, because all my EVPs are on book two, of the Leave Him Alone?
I heard, yes. That's why I said you've got a guardian angel. I said you've got company.
Yeah, and it was a male voice, and I said in my book, I was nervous about being sick because I've never been sick since this ordeal began. And they've been poking and prodding me, slapping me all over the place while sleeping, but now I'm sick or really going to run amok on me. And they didn't, and it was a very stern male voice. It was right above my forehead. He was like, leave him alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard that like I'm hearing your voice, and my eyes darted all like, what?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then another voice, a similar EVP, maybe even be the same chapter, where I get out of bed and a voice says, see how he stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a male voice, same tone, same demeanor.
The EVPs those are important too. I know you said, you know, there was a lot of negative stuff in there, but I tell you what, the negative stuff is just, again, trying to see, is can they get your goat? You know, and part of it is it's forcing you, like we talked off, getting the PhD in poltergeist, because you have information now that is valuable to others who've been stuck with this and have no clue which way is up. And who they can trust, and who will come and not spend 5 hours and say, well, there's nothing there. And then you feel even worse than you did before. Okay, so Keith, we got to go. We got to go. But for people who want to get the book, it's available on Amazon. Follow you on Twitter, The Bothell Hill House. Anything else?
No. Amazon, Google, and YouTube, you'll find Keith Linder in those three places. But thank you the most for having me. I'll stay in touch with you.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Book three, and then you're going to retire. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the show coming up in December?
My horror story on Travel Channel is just a narration of from beginning to end of what we went through.
Okay. Want to end with that so people can tune in. But one way or the other, these things happen, all right? You don't have to be present for them. Sometimes it's better if you just hear about them and you aren't present for them, because the people who have to do this on the front lines, it's no picnic. But it's nice when they can tell the story and they can get proof, they can get validated, and we can learn and take it forward. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.